You've got reservations with Dan and Casey's Flavor by Springer Mountain Farms Chicken. We're sitting down with Chris Bowater and Murphy Vaughn here at Silo in Germantown. And it smells good, doesn't it, Casey?
It really does. And it's still, we've been doing this for a while now. It still baffles me that we get to call this going to work. It's amazing to me. I love it.
Yes, there's a happiness in my eye. I hope folks can hear it on the radio. We're looking at a few dishes we're going to get to try today. Of course, one of them featuring Springer Mountain Farms Chicken. Let's talk a little bit about Silo here in Germantown. You guys were the pioneers of one of the first to open up a great restaurant here. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think we've been here about 7 years now.
Yeah, originally when we started, we kind of wanted to focus on southern ingredients and do the farm-to-table idea. I know it's become a lot more popular since then.
Yeah.
But we were one of the pioneers in this area.
See, and that's amazing right there because, you know, 7 years in the restaurant business is like 30 years of doing anything else.
Yeah,
I mean, you guys are to be commended for that, definitely.
Yeah, I think even, is there a mark in the restaurant business, like a certain amount of years, you're like, okay, good,
where we finally made it.
Yeah.
It feels like it because you do see a lot of restaurants that open up and then a year later they're already closing down. So it feels like once you've made it past a certain point, a few years, and you've kind of solidified a spot for yourself.
So you guys have a seasonally focused kitchen here in Germantown. And you have relationships with farmers. I think that's really cool. Talk about where we are right now with your menu.
Well, with our menu right now, I don't know if you want to jump in. We're at this point trying to switch over. You know, we were in winter, the cold time. Everybody wants to eat, you know, hearty meals and hot soups. And now we're trying to switch over to focus more on light, fresh, green, you know, just green stuff that you feel good when you eat it. And it kind of goes along with the temperature.
Yeah, I'd say this is a hanger on from winter, our chicken dish right now. It's a little heavy, but it's pretty delicious.
But is there ever really a wrong time for a big old piece of chicken, though?
I don't think so.
We're going to continue to do the chicken.
Absolutely.
It'll be a new set, but yeah, we'll continue.
And one thing that jumped out at me, you know, I was looking at your menu, some of the Springer Mountain Farms dishes, and there's a word that kept jumping out at me that I love, and that word is liver. I love chicken livers. Love them.
One of my favorite things, too.
And I noticed you use them in a couple different things. Right? Tell us a little bit about those dishes.
This is the boudin. I learned how to make boudin when I was over at Cochon Butcher. This is a smoked version, so it's a little different. Traditionally, it's steamed, but there's chicken liver in there, of course, pork butt, trinity, rice. And we've also got dirty rice on our chicken right here, so that utilizes liver as well. And he does a delicious liver mousse.
Okay.
So we utilize it three different ways right now.
See, I can and have made an entire meal off chicken livers before. I love them. I can't do any other kind of liver, but chicken liver all day.
Yeah, yep. Of course, yeah.
Casey, I know it's a little bit early in the interview, but I'm thinking we should try some of this food. It's
please,
fresh, hot
please.
Now.
I mean, I feel like
right in front of us.
And now I understand how many varieties of liver are in front of me right now. Yeah, I got to get on it, man.
All right. We're digging in here. Going to get some of this chicken with the dirty rice.
And while I dig in, I'd like to mention, too, we use Springer Mountain chicken for our stock as well, which the mushroom gravy is made out of. So a lot of cross-utilization
there. Yeah, we're making all of our stocks in-house, and we utilize them pretty heavily. It seems like we're always running out of stock. We can't keep enough in the kitchen.
Oh, man.
Dude.
That's awesome.
You said that's a mushroom gravy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's phenomenal. That's really good, man.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank
it
you.
Is.
It's white wine, chicken stock, mushroom, thyme, rosemary, medium brown roux with butter.
And am I getting just a hint of love in there, too? Just a little bit of love?
Plenty of love.
Nice.
Why don't you talk about some of the other dishes on your menu while we're taking these bites right here?
One of our more popular dishes that's a little weird for us is the tamales. We do a vegan and gluten-free tamale, which is not traditional. We use vegetable shortening instead of lard. Because we always want to have a vegan, gluten-free option. So
yeah, just, you know, there's always customers that come in that are asking for vegan, gluten-free options, and we like to be able to cater to them.
Is that something you've seen more of maybe over the last few years than when you first opened up?
I'd say just in general, not even at this restaurant, but yeah, gluten-free especially, which I think, without even trying to, cater pretty well to the gluten-free. Not, you know, most of our stuff has one or two things that we can take off, but yeah. There always needs to be a vegan, gluten-free. There's always going to be those customers.
It's hard to eat this food quietly. It's so good.
It really is. If y'all hear a bunch of smacking and banging around, that's just Casey.
That just means it's good.
Absolutely.
So for someone who hasn't walked into Silo here in Germantown before, kind of take them through a quick little visual tour. They're going to walk in, and they're going to see your bars
first thing you'd see.
With a lot of whiskey.
Yeah, we do carry one of the widest selection of whiskeys in Tennessee, and that is the first thing when you walk in the door. It's right there.
Is there anything on that shelf that's your favorite thing to enjoy?
I mean, you can't go wrong with any of those top shelves, the Pappies and the Taylors and Wellers, any of those. But honestly, I if it's just a regular day, I'm drinking Buffalo Trace or Bullet. Bullet's my favorite, you know, just go to the liquor store and get a bottle.
Yeah, there's a lot of wood, obviously, everywhere. We've got a private dining room right here.
Well, and tell us about it, because you took us in there and you look up, and it's actually kind of designed to look like a silo, is that correct?
Yeah, and there's a little basket weave pattern at the top in a circle shape.
And you've got it up over the bar here, too.
Yeah. It's kind of supposed to resemble an actual silo, yeah.
So while we're talking decor, too, when you're kind of showing us the place, you showed us some really cool lights that you have hanging up kind of in the back there. What did y'all use to decorate those again?
We didn't do it ourselves, but you might can see them in the shot.
Oh, yeah, there they are, yeah.
They're right here, but those are actually shotgun shots.
Somebody just shot them with a shotgun, and then we paint them and hang them.
Took them out somewhere and just
That's awesome.
Shot them.
That's really cool.
It's the only way to get that randomness.
Yeah.
You know, they say at least the first record or two, Jim James went into a silo in Kentucky and recorded his vocals inside of the silo.
Wow, that's interesting, yeah.
That natural reverb effect that you hear on it.
I hadn't heard that. Yeah. I'm a big My Morning Jacket fan. I didn't know that. Nice little tidbit.
That's cool.
We're hanging out here in Silos with Chris Bowater and Murphy Vaughn. It's Silo in Germantown. They're online at silotn.com. If you're looking for it, you could just Google Silo Germantown. It pops up. And, of course, you can do reservations with them on OpenTable.
So one of the things, too, when we do this, we like to come out and we talk to people. We like to give people maybe just a little chance to vent, maybe share a story or something that's happened to them. And I understand here, did you have somebody that tried to replace a garnish with like a big side of vegetables? Or what was the story there?
Yeah, Murphy.
A few years back. This was a small one, but we had a customer. We had a steak dish with just horseradish shaved on it.
Okay.
And he wanted, instead of to sub out the horseradish, he wanted a side of Brussels sprouts. Which just obviously goes from something that's worth about 5 cents to something that's worth about $10. So.
Did he try to justify it at all, or just was...
You know, our server was smart enough to actually not even bring that back to us. We heard about it afterwards.
Okay.
He knew how we would react.
Well, see, that proves you got good people around you, too.
Yeah.
And then do you also... do you guys... I guess... We ask a lot about maybe things that you're tired of or trends in food you wish would kind of go away. And you guys hear a lot about food allergies nowadays. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it's become more. I don't know if it's always been a thing or more and more common, but you hear people, I'm assuming, don't actually have the allergy and just say it to make sure it doesn't end up in their dish.
Yeah.
And I don't think they realize when we see allergy on a ticket how we react back there.
Right.
Nothing can touch it. Not, I mean,
it becomes the food equivalent of like a hazmat situation.
Yeah,
everything has to get sequestered.
Every
off
ticket and, of the night had an allergy.
It's a big deal if someone has a peanut allergy.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we take that very seriously. Right. And we want to see, you know.
But I think one of the examples that we heard, I think, was onions.
Onions.
Which apparently, there's studies and numbers that bear out that, yes, there are onion allergies, but like nobody has them.
I think it's like 2 in 4,000 or something like that. Something like that. And we get one almost every night.
Yeah, and it's just.
I think if I had onion allergies
in the world, or we've got liars. One of the two.
And people don't understand onions are in almost everything we cook, or in some way or another. The stocks, the vegetables that go into all the dishes.
It's almost like a little bit of salt. Like you're not going
to
avoid
it. It's hard. To accommodate that.
Wouldn't risk going out to eat at that point.
If it was that,
not that everybody doesn't deserve to go out and eat.
Absolutely. And no disrespect, because I'm sure someone is hearing this right now, going, "No, I actually am allergic to onions."
No, and we do
believe that.
Appreciate and respect that.
We're not talking about you. We're talking about the other person.
The person who doesn't want to have bad breath on their date, so they don't want to eat.
Right, right. Because let's be honest, generally speaking, probably something like that.
Yeah. So I hear you guys have something special planned for Memorial Day weekend.
We're planning with Nathan Gifford of Gifford's Bacon. I don't know if y'all have met him, but he actually used to work here at Silo a while back before he started Gifford's Bacon. and Prime South Meats now. We're planning on doing a little collab with him. The bar is going to make some cocktails to go along with his bacon dishes, and we're going to do a couple bacon dishes with him here at Silo.
Did you just tell me there might be like bacon infused cocktails? Did I hear that?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh,
there would definitely, that's a good
be,
idea.
There would definitely you know, be bacon cocktails.
We haven't done a lot of sequels,
right,
Dan. I think we might need to come out here and do a sequel.
We would love to have you guys back.
Yeah, definitely come out.
So I'm pretty busy during the week. I don't get out quite as often on weeknights, but I do love when I get to go to brunch. And can you tell us about what your brunch is like here at Silo?
Our brunches have been pretty crazy. We just started doing Saturday brunches about 6 months ago, and they've already become more busy than most of our Sunday brunches. But yeah, the last few weeks, we've been having our busiest brunches that we've done since we opened. And
last week literally broke the record.
Yeah, actually. Easter. Oh, wow. Easter brunch. Yeah, we broke the record.
That's a good problem to have, though.
Yeah, it's a good problem. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
At least we're finally getting into weather where you can take advantage of your patio.
Exactly, right. Yeah. I think that has a lot to do with it right now, yeah.
We know nothing lends itself to eating indoors quite like brunch, right, Dan?
Yeah. So it's really fun to be here living in Nashville, Tennessee. You guys, like we talked about, were some of the pioneers in Germantown. We've seen some other great restaurants pop up in this area. And it's fun for Casey and I because we're getting to know a lot of the restaurants, going and talking to chefs on reservations.
Oh, yeah.
Where are some of the places you guys like to go when you're going, you're taking some friends out? Where's one of your favorite places?
I'll be honest, 9 times out of 10, when I go eat out, it's not somewhere nice or fancy. I usually go to the Mexican spot. But 2 weeks ago, I went to Folk. That was delicious. I'd never been there. I'm a big fan of Husk. Arnold's is one of my favorite spots in town. I guess that's just the name of a few.
Yeah, I'd have to say, when I'm going out for, you know, a nice dinner, I always go to 210 Jack. It's my favorite. Favorite restaurant in town. That City House right around the corner from us here is excellent. Me and my fiance have been there a few times.
And they're another restaurant that's survived a few years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually quite a bit older than us, too. They're like the oldest. I think they're like 10 years, maybe even 15.
They're kind of the block captain at this
point. And it's like dog years, right?
There you go.
It's like times seven.
Yeah.
they're getting up there in age.
So let's say, you know, you've gotten off, maybe you're going to be in your own kitchen, you're going to go in, you're just going to cook something that you want right then, you can make easy yourself. What's going to be the go-to for one of you?
I like to cook spaghetti a lot at home. That's one of my favorite just classic dishes that reminds me of my childhood. I like to cook campfire Dutch oven in my backyard a lot,
okay,
too. That's one of my favorite ways to cook at home. I guess that's not simple, easy after work, but
it's still cool,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, we'll get together on our days off sometimes, and he'll start a fire and throw a brisket in or some sort of meat and just...
Jambalaya is a fun
jambalaya,
one. It's very challenging, too, because you can't, it's hard to regulate the temperature, so that's a fun one. Right. What's
one of your favorite spaghetti sauces to make?
I just make some kind of a bastard, or sorry, didn't mean to cut. It's like a bolognese mixed with like a Southern mom spaghetti, somewhere in the middle there.
Well, I'm pretty excited that you gave us a recipe, which we're going to have posted over at lightning100.com/reservations. And it's a very interesting deviled eggs recipe. Is it one of your guys' recipe?
Yeah, Murphy wrote this recipe, actually.
Can you talk us through it? It's a little bit different than how my mom makes it.
Yeah, well, that's a thing we do here. We do every day. We do three different deviled eggs, different way every time. So there's, I don't know how many variations there's been at this
point. How many combinations have we done over the last 7 years?
This is just one. So I remember on this one, my filling, you just, you know, cook the deviled eggs the same way. I'm not going to go through the recipe exactly, but mayonnaise, mustard, Dijon. I've got celery seed, lemon juice.
Are you using real capers?
Yeah, real capers.
Nice.
And, oh yeah, I see that there. And then for a garnish, I do fried shrimp. And for my fried shrimp, I do about half and half cornstarch, cornmeal.
I don't think I've had them with fried shrimp.
I know I haven't.
That's
really
awesome.
Good. Yeah, that's... we end up putting meat on them a lot. We usually have one with meat and then two vegetarian ones.
Can I ask you what mayo you prefer?
Duke's.
Got to be Duke's. Yeah. Got to be Duke's.
Absolutely.
It was interesting. We had a conversation about it. My mom was saying that the mayo that you buy now is different than it used to be, maybe to make it healthier.
Yeah.
But she feels like it's kind of more watery. It's not like it used to be, and it doesn't taste as good.
Yeah, it's got to be Duke's. It just got compared to any of the other mayos, the flavor that it has and the richness that it brings to the eggs or whatever we're using it in. We'll use it on sauces here and there, but yeah, it's got to be Duke's.
I just feel like, you know, it's like people get in, there's a beer they really like, and every other beer is terrible. Yeah. I feel like they would just look at us like, Hellman's? What's that? Get that out of here.
No, that's my family. It was a Hellman's family.
I was growing up, too, actually. I didn't get introduced to Duke's until I was an adult.
See,
it
and
took
now,
one taste, and I was like, okay.
Now we're gonna start a mayonnaise rivalry, and we're all packing steak knives. What's that about?
Oh, goodness.
So there was one other thing that you know, I was going through the menu, and there was, let me find it here because I jotted it down. There's a phrase that just, it jumped out at me, and I heard Angel singing, and all, that's all I could think about. Caramel bacon popcorn.
Yeah,
tell me about caramel bacon popcorn. First of all, thank you for making a thing like that exist in the world, but tell me about the caramel bacon popcorn.
So yeah, it's pretty simple, but delicious, obviously. Yeah. It's been a staple here since we've opened, so that's one of the things. We do change a lot on our menu, but that's one of the things that sticks around no matter what.
Right on.
It's just, we make a simple caramel pop, organic yellow popcorn, crisp up some bacon, throw that in with the popcorn, toss it in the caramel. It's kind of tricky because you have to do it while the caramel is the exact right temperature, or it gets too hard. It becomes like almost like glass, or it becomes not hard enough where it's too loose and it doesn't really stick to the popcorn itself.
Okay.
But yeah, overall, it comes out delicious always. Yeah.
All right.
Shout out to our pastry chef, Sammy Bowser. She's the one that does that for us, and it always comes out perfect.
I hear she's an early riser.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she's been with us for, what is it now, Murphy? 2 years, probably?
Probably, maybe closer to three.
Maybe closer to three, and she does some excellent work.
She started as an assistant and worked her way up.
And she's in here at 4 a.m.?
4 a.m. In the morning,
And she actually does it. She doesn't have an assistant either. She does it all herself.
Yeah, everything.
Most pastry chefs have an assistant. So
yeah, she does her own ice creams, cakes, and...
Does all our biscuits for brunch.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sure she's taken care of, but give her a raise.
Well, I think it's time for us to finish off these dishes.
I've been trying to eat quiet. I don't want to do that anymore,
looks
man.
Looks so good.
I'm gonna dive in.
Been hanging out here with Chris and Murphy from Silo in Germantown. It's 1121 Fifth Avenue North. Their bar opens at 4. They serve dinner starting at 5. Brunch Saturday and Sunday, 10:30 a.m. They get to take the day off on Mondays. They're online at silotn.com. We are online at lightning100.com/reservations, where you can hear full interviews and past episodes. Gacy, you know why you find Springer Mountain Farms chicken in so many great restaurants in Nashville?
Why is that, Dan?
Because the quality is so good.